Father, we are grateful for another opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou would open the Word, enabling us to understand it. Grant our Father that truth might be received as Thou dost present it. Meet every need of every waiting heart today, as it seems good to Thee, and we'll give Thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 10, which we have been studying for several days. We had seen a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, with a rainbow about his head, his face like the sun, and his feet like pillars of brass. He had in his hand a little book. He sat on his right foot on the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, as we left you the last time, we were just ready to notice what it was that is recorded about those seven thunders. The sound of the voice of the mighty angel that sounded like a lion was accompanied by this other sound, the sound of seven thunders uttering their voices. Now, perhaps you would say this morning, I didn't even know that thunder had a voice. I didn't know that there were seven or six or eight or nine. What does it mean that seven thunders uttered their voices? Well, turn with me, if you will, please, to Psalm number 29, and you will see the symbolic suggestion of these thunders uttering their voices. You will find seven thunders uttering their voices here also. Notice Psalm number 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now listen carefully. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Now voice number two. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Voice number three. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Voice number four. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Voice number five. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Voice number six. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. Voice number seven. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. You see, when John said he heard seven thunders uttering their voices, he was not speaking of the rolling sound of literal thunder. He was speaking of the complete voice of God speaking in judgment. The complete voice of God speaking in judgment. Will you turn back, please, to the book of Job, where we have a testimony from this patriarch proving this. Job chapter 37, verse 1. At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, that is the voice of God, the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and is lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundered marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. When you go back to chapter 10 of the book of the Revelation, you notice in verse 4 that when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, John said, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. John was just about to write down what God had said, and the order came, Don't write, seal those things up, don't include them in the book of the Revelation. Now I wonder why. Well, to be perfectly honest with you today, I don't know why. Perhaps the suggestion in the book of Job is the reason. Men cannot comprehend the voice of God when he thundereth in the manner in which he does. You say, how could John then? Well, now remember, John was in the Spirit, and when this revelation was given to him, it was given to him by divine revelation. That is the reason why he was able to reveal the things that are revealed in this book. Why did God tell him not to write these things if he said anything at all? Surely something must have been said, or God would not have told him not to write what was said. Well, why did he tell him that? Perhaps it just wasn't proper to write it. The Apostle Paul had somewhat the same experience, you will remember. He mentions it in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven, and I saw things which are not lawful for me to utter. Paul was never able to tell us what he saw up there, but he did see something. Of that you can be sure. Somebody said, well, I just wish I knew what the thunder said. Well, let me tell you something today. If you try to figure out what those seven thunders said, you're going to get yourself into a lot of error. One movement in our nation, which is growing by leaps and bounds, is an illustration of this. The founder of that movement has written a book on what the seven thunders said. That's one of the reasons why I don't have any confidence in most of what is said by that movement. If God says nobody knows what they said, I don't know how in the world anybody does. But evidently, the author of this book thinks that she knows what the seven thunders said and has made it a basic part of what this particular movement believes. Now, I don't know what these seven thunders said, but when we get to heaven, of this I can be sure. If we need to know, we will know, and if we don't, we won't be bothered about it. The seven thunders uttered some things about which the Spirit of God said, seal them up. So John didn't think any more about it. In verse 5, he watched what was going on, and he saw this mighty angel stand upon the sea and upon the earth, and he saw him lift his hand to heaven, and he saw him swear by the God who was the creator of all three spheres, the earth, the sea, and the heavens. He saw him lift his hand as he swore, and the oath that he took is found in the last part of verse 6. The oath is, there shall be time no longer. Now, the word time is an unhappy translation of the original text, because it would lead you to believe that time is running out. And yet, there are 10 chapters of time in the book of the Revelation after this particular statement is made. A better word for the word time is the word delay. What the angel said as he raised his hand to heaven is, there shall be delay no longer. Now notice verse 7, please. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, that is, when the seventh angel begins to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, what does it mean that there shall be delay no longer? Well, it means simply, friend, that the mystery of God is going to be brought to completion. That God is not going to wait any longer. What is this mystery of God? Well, there are seven different mysteries mentioned in the Bible. A mystery in the Bible is not something mysterious related to sheets and to ghosts and to goblins and so forth. A mystery in the Bible is some particular truth that has been kept back from men, has been hidden from men, but in God's own time is revealed. Will you turn with me, please, to 2 Peter, as I suggest to you what I believe is the mystery of God that will be finished when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. For out of the sounding of the seventh angel comes the pouring of the seven bowls of the wrath of God and the completion of God's program on the earth. Now notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the things that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Thus ends the reading of this particular portion of the Word of God. Someone says to God, "Why? God, I'm mystified. I'm puzzled. Why do you let sin continue as it goes? Why do you let men get away with that which they do? Why is it that man can do almost anything and judgment does not fall on them? Why? Why? Why, God, don't you come back and straighten things out? It's a mystery." But when you reach chapter 10 of this book of the Revelation, that mystery is going to be resolved. For after this, God is going to take things in his hands, and there will be delay no longer. The judgment of God in relation to the earth is going to be completed. Now, every truth in the Word of God has a personal application, and we have a very good illustration of that in this chapter. For the mighty angel had given to John everything at which we have looked up to this point, and now the voice from heaven said to John, "I want you to do something personally about what you've heard." This is the responsibility of every one of us. What John did personally, we will be noticing when we meet together again.